This is Jay Sekulow. Here's the legal analysis. The Obama administration violates the law in giving a ransom.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Yesterday, the State Department acknowledged that the $400 million, which was paid to settle a dispute, was actually timed to leverage the release of American prisoners.
We had a separate effort going for many, many months, separate from the nuclear deal, certainly separate from the Hague Tribunal, to get those Americans back. And that team was working very, very diligently. And in nowhere in those discussions, nowhere was there a discussion about paying ransom to get them back.
The payment was contingent on their release, right?
What I'm saying is that because we had concerns that Iran may renege on the prisoner release, given unnecessary delays that we're already regarding some persons in Iran, as well as some mutual mistrust, we, of course, naturally, and should be held at task if we didn't, sought to retain maximum leverage until after the Americans were released.
In basic English, you're saying that you wouldn't give them the $400 million in cash until the prisoners were released, correct?
That's correct.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Yesterday, you guys were a bit befuddled. Confused by the Russian decision to start undertaking missions from Iran.
We're looking at it. We're trying to get a better assessment of what's going on. We understand the importance and the significance of them using Iranian air bases, but Russia's been doing this kind of, or been carrying out these kinds of airstrikes for months now. So that element of it is not new. The fact of the matter is it's only exacerbating what is already a very dangerous situation.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. We've got a lot to talk about, including this $400 million payment, which now basically the government is acknowledging is, in fact, a ransom, which is a violation of Presidential Policy Directive 30. We'll get into that in the next segment of the broadcast. But the breaking news right now, of course, is the resignation of Paul Manafort as the chairman of the Trump campaign. This comes out this morning, first thing, that he is now, in fact, no longer the campaign manager. Some will say this isn't a big deal, but as we said, this is a big deal, but we expected this. This is not a shock.
We did. I mean, we've been talking about the shakeup needed. Now, whether this was the right shakeup, the time will tell. But Paul Manafort, especially with what was hanging over him with this Ukrainian, Russian-backed info, I think Donald Trump needed to distance himself from that, especially because he's made comments you could interpret as pro-Putin to some extent. And with Paul Manafort under increasing scrutiny by Ukrainian authorities about violating the law, including potential violations of U.S. law because he wasn't registered as a foreign lobbyist, and others that he was funneling money to from a pro-Kremlin government. I think he got him through the convention. He made sure that the delegates were there. That was Paul Manafort's job.
He did the job.
Clearly, he could not rein Trump in as well. And I think Paul Manafort may not have also been so comfortable with this. Trump brought in Kellyanne Conway, Steve Bannon. 2 days later, Paul Manafort is out.
Yep.
And important, there was a tone change yesterday with Donald Trump.
Play it.
All within this 24 hours. Take a listen, folks. I've never heard Donald Trump do this before throughout this entire campaign.
Yeah, this is the Donald Trump apology statement. Here we go.
Sometimes in the heat of debate and speaking on a multitude of issues, you don't choose the right words or you say the wrong thing. I have done that. And believe it or not, I regret it. And I do regret it, particularly where it may have caused personal pain.
All right, so Logan, from a media standpoint, that was a very calculated statement.
Absolutely.
How do you think it comes across?
You know, I
think doubled down on it when people started laughing. He said he regrets it. Then he said, I do regret it. He emphasized
it. Because that's not what you're expected to hear from him. I'm not sure. I think the Trump audience may not be as receptive to that because they want this, you know, bulldog out there.
Right.
But he's doing what he can right now to hopefully, save the day.
And he could still be a bulldog. He transitioned right from this into where his focus should be. Not on reporters or their disabilities, but Hillary Clinton, Bite 38.
Yeah. All right, do we have time for that? No. Okay, we're running. Yeah, we've got a break here. All right, folks, let me tell you what we want to do. ACLJ.org is the way. We're in a matching challenge campaign. We are $102,000 down from where we were last year, about 1,300 donations down from last year. So if you go to ACLJ.org right now, help us out. That's going to make a huge difference. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. We come back from a break. We'll take your call, 1-800-684-3110.
It's the most lawless administration in history. Courts call President Obama's Justice Department, quote, unethical. The State Department lied about the disastrous Iran nuclear deal. The Department of Homeland Security scrubs Islam and jihad from its files. The administration covered up its Benghazi failures. The FBI rewrote the law while conducting a faux investigation of the State Department email scandal. And the list goes on. The American Center for Law and Justice is holding the corrupt, lawless Obama administration accountable. And you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
All right, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. All right, let's talk about this one. $400 million given. Now we know why it was given. And of course, we represented one of the hostages and we thought they should have been released before this all started. But let's go back in time here to where the administration was first saying this is not a ransom, this is not a payment for it, it had nothing to do with the release. These are unrelated situations, no relevancy whatsoever. Do we have that bite ready? Let's go ahead and play it.
And oh, by the way, the teams that were negotiating the release of our Americans was a completely separate team than was working in the Hague Tribunal to negotiate this claim. Completely separate process. Though simultaneously done, the timing is all coincidental.
So the timing is all coincidental. This is from John Kirby, the spokesman of the State Department. Now, being pressed yesterday on this very same thing, you're being lied to, American people. Here's what John Kirby says.
The payment was contingent on their release, right?
What I'm saying is that because we had concerns that Iran may renege on the prisoner release, given unnecessary delays that we're already regarding some persons in Iran, as well as some mutual mistrust, we, of course, naturally, and should be held at task if we didn't, sought to retain maximum leverage until after the Americans were released.
So they use this to maintain maximum leverage. Now you've got people like Marco Rubio and others, a lot of people in Congress starting to express serious concern about this. Stan, what are you hearing in Washington right now?
Well, it was a complete about-face. I mean, we heard from Senator Cotton right out of the gate that this was a ransom, and he was told to his face, as were all of us, that this was not a ransom. And now, just a couple of weeks later, they are turning it around and admitting that it was. Yes, okay, it was completion of the arms deal, but it was also a ransom. And, Jay, I think people are most offended by the use of the term leverage instead of ransom, yep, because as we said from the very beginning and as Capitol Hill said from the beginning, this was not when they had the leverage. They had the leverage before they started lifting
That's
sanctions
correct.
And before they sat down to negotiate, but they waited till the money was
right
on the ground to use the leverage.
We had the ultimate leverage, folks. But here's the question. You know, they say, well, this was returning them their money. Now, Benjamin Netanyahu has compared the Iranian regime to the Nazis. Let's play that soundbite right now. I want to set this up, folks.
Listen to Hassan Nasrallah, the leader of Hezbollah, Iran's chief terrorist proxy. He said, if all the Jews gather in Israel, it will save us the trouble of chasing them down around the world. But Iran's regime is not merely a Jewish problem, any more than the Nazi regime was merely a Jewish problem. The 6 million Jews murdered by the Nazis were but a fraction of the 60 million people killed in World War II.
So there you have it, the extent of this being a Nazi-like threat. So here's the question I ask the American government, and we want your comments on. If we had money from that was the regime before Hitler, and then Hitler came to power, would we release that money as part of, well, it's their money, we're just returning it to them anyways? The answer would be, of course not. You wouldn't give the Nazis more money. Then why are we giving the largest state sponsor of terror money? The answer is, it's inexcusable. And as this reporter said, I want you to listen to number 12 here. This tells you, a reporter says, in English, you're saying you wouldn't give them money until they were released. Let's play that right here.
In basic English, you're saying that you wouldn't give them the $400 million in cash until the prisoners were released, correct?
That's correct.
So that is a ransom. And the fact is, it can be a ransom even if it was their money to begin with, if you're holding the money. So we thought from the outset, Jordan, that this was wrong. This was incorrect. It should have never been done this way. But this administration doubled down on it. And folks, it kind of tells you the nature of what we're dealing with here.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is an administration that until they get caught never wants to tell the truth. They're always trying to kind of string you along. So first we're told it's a coincidence. And then we're told it was a helpful coincidence because we had the planned money to go, but we told the Iranians at the last minute, well, we need leverage. We got this leverage. So now we're going to say, well, you don't get the money and this first bit of money, $400 million, until the hostages go. What we know is this was ransom. Yep. This was absolutely ransom. Now, I'll say two things about this because we represented Saeed Abedini's family, one of these Americans. Number one, you go back and watch every interview we did on Fox News, CBN, CNN, every network. And every radio show we talked about it, we were always, one, opposed to the Iranian nuclear deal. Mm-hmm. Number two, even with a client who may benefit from it, potentially. Number two, we were opposed to even starting negotiations with Iran, sitting down at the table until the Americans were released. We believe that should have been the precondition to even get to sit down with the most powerful country in the world. And then we were very concerned when the negotiations continued and ultimately a deal was announced. And yet those Americans were not yet freed. They became pawns in the negotiating process. And I said that, you said it, Dad, over and over and over again on television broadcasts and on interviews. We knew that this would happen. Now, I will say this to everybody watching and listening right now. All of you who signed the petitions for Saeed and the other Americans, let me tell you, this government wouldn't have even done this if it wasn't for that pressure. This was a bad move to set a precedent for ransoms. But they wouldn't even put contingency on this money. They wanted this nuclear deal so bad. But because of you and the grassroots swell of support to get these Americans home, they had to do something. So there is some silver lining here that the administration ended up getting these Americans out. But it's set a horrible precedent. Now there's more Americans in prison in Iran.
Which
and they're
exactly
going to think,
hey,
we can get another $400 million here and there for these Americans.
Comments coming in, Logan?
Comments are coming in. This does not surprise me. More corruption with the government. That's from Tom. This is a lot of people. They said, can they make those kind of payments without the consent from Congress?
Yes,
that's from
they
John.
Can.
Trying to find some other ones. A lot of people are definitely voicing their opinions. Others have already been taken hostage.
Yes.
Any idea of their situation? That's from Lisa.
Yeah, so Lisa, it's a very good question. And there are more Americans have been taken hostage since the money has been received by the Iranians and the four Americans released than were held previously. And this is you've increased the ability. Now, what is the mood in Congress on this? And Than, what do you expect to happen? And we'll take a phone call after this.
Well, I think the mood in Congress mainly hinges on the points you just made. I think people on both sides of the aisle, Jay, believe that more Americans have been taken because of this payment and more Americans will be taken because of it. And you know what? I think both people that favor the Iran deal and oppose it. I mean, there are people that do favor the negotiations with Iran, shocking as that may be. However, the timing, the tick-tock, as Admiral Kirby called it, that means that more Americans will be taken. And I think that's going to be universally a universal concern here on Capitol Hill.
And we know, Jordan, that one of the Americans being held right now is being charged, here we go again, with violating national security.
That's right. So it's these terror-related charges, national security charges. That means it goes into the Revolutionary Guard Court. So it's not through the normal criminal courts in Iran. Those courts are secret. There's very bad access for attorneys. This is exactly, it tracks the same. Remember, Saeed Abedini and the other Americans weren't charged with very different crimes. They were all charged with these national security offenses. And we kind of made the connection. In Saeed's case, he was an American pastor. In Jason Rezaian's case, he was an American reporter with credentials, by the way, legally there. In the situation involving Amir Hekmati, a U.S. Marine, legally there to visit his grandmother, but he was, an American. They all had that American connection, so Iran throws that very serious charge against them, which carries up to the death penalty.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of the most serious. And so we have to watch this very closely because we are now funding this regime.
Absolutely. All right, let's take a phone call, and we're taking more of your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We come back from the break. Russia and Iran and Syria. What a mess that is. We'll get into that. We'll take more calls. Let's go ahead and take a call.
Yeah, let's go to Eddie in California.
Hi, Eddie.
Hello. I wanted to thank you for doing what you did for Pastor Saeed.
And thank all of our donors and members.
Yep. And all the other Americans that were prisoners over there. And like Sergeant Andrew Tamarusi that was in the prison in Mexico, that President Obama wouldn't do anything to help them.
Our friend Greta Van Susteren did a fantastic job on that. I mean, we talked about it too, but she did a great job on that.
Well, it's horrifying because these beautiful people here, all, you know, up until now, we've had American presidents in our office, and now we're under attack by the same one that took a vow to protect us.
Well, it's because the policies that the president has implemented have been to such an extent that we are reaping what we have sown, and that is the truth. By the way, on the Iran deal, and we're going to talk about that when we come back from the break, when we talk about Russia and Iran, I want you to know we are in federal court on that right now. Our lawsuit is against the Obama State Department. We're claiming that they are attempting to ignore the lawful request for Freedom of Information Act requests surrounding deletions of part of the daily press briefing. Remember the lie they told to James Rosen about when the Iran deal started, all of that fabrication. We are in federal court on that right now. Also, we are in federal court in defense of an Israeli-based organization, Gush Etzion Foundation, and we are there because the Palestinian Authority agitators, I call them. It's not them themselves, but it's their agitators have filed this massive suit, and we are defending the interests of these organizations, these pro-Israel, pro-Jewish organizations in federal court in Washington, D.C. All of that's happening right now, and we're in a matching challenge campaign. And frankly, folks, I haven't had to say this, but this month, we're first time we've been behind in a matching challenge in a long, long time, since I can remember. So we're running about $100,000 behind where we were last year, probably $200,000 off our goal right now. So about 1,700 donations short. So if you would go to ACLJ.org, that will really make a big difference and donate to the ACLJ. We'll get a matching gift. And we, again, want you on the broadcast and talk to us. Logan's going to let you know all the ways you can.
That's right. Join us right now. Phone lines are open, 1-800-684-3110. But also log on over to Facebook and Periscope. Be part of the conversation and engage today of what we are talking about and what's going on. Again, that's Facebook.com/JSeculo, Periscope. Just search for Jay Sekulow, broadcasting live there right now. But again, phone lines are open. Two lines. They're going quick, folks. 1-800-684-3110. Be right back with more on Jay Sekulow Live.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. It's the most lawless administration in history. Courts call President Obama's Justice Department, quote, unethical. The State Department lied about the disastrous Iran nuclear deal. The Department of Homeland Security scrubs Islam and jihad from its files. The administration covered up its Benghazi failures. The FBI rewrote the law while conducting a faux investigation of the State Department email scandal. And the list goes on. The American Center for Law and Justice is holding the corrupt, lawless Obama administration accountable. And you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
Taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Paul Manafort's out of the Trump campaign. No shock there. We talked about the situation with Russia, a little bit with Iran. We've also talked about more follow-up on the administration's denial of their lie on why the Iran deal was negotiated and when it was negotiated. We need to set the time frame here for everybody. So, Jordan, it's important for everybody to understand this, and then I'm going to say what has happened, and then we're going to play some sound from you, which is absolutely outrageous. So let's first set the tone here, folks, and let me set you the tone. James Rosen, who was on our broadcast last week, said that he uncovered this, that he found an edit in a video that was put out by the Department of State regarding when the Iran discussions took place. The narrative from the administration was that we started this negotiation with Iran when Rafsanjani was in, which was a more moderate regime, but in fact it was under Ahmadinejad, who was calling for Israel to be wiped off the map. So it was a complete lie. And then the video was edited, and then they had that excuse. But before we get into the excuse, let's talk about the significance of what's at stake there, Jordan. Then I want to get into the excuse and let everybody weigh in on this. But this is a big deal.
Yeah, it's significant because this was a key portion in about the, you know, getting to the nuclear deal. What were we agreeing to as the United States? And a lot of information's come out about this deal. We know now we've agreed to this huge transfer of funds. Now it's up to not just the $400 million in the ransom, right, but an additional $1.3 billion. So it's now up to $1.7 billion. The administration did let us know at some point that that money would be released. It was Iranian assets that were frozen since the revolution.
But as I said, I wouldn't be giving Hitler his money, even if it was German money before.
And what else did we find out? We found out that this deal is actually not legally binding. Yep. We found out that this deal puts Iran on a path to a nuclear weapon. So in about 10 years or less now, because the deal's been in place, Iran can replace its old centrifuges with new centrifuges, the only purpose of which, no from medical research or anything, or power research, the only purpose for which you need them is to create nuclear material for weapons.
Okay.
That's the only reason. Of course, they've got their ballistic missiles issues, and now Russia using Iran as a jumping off point to bomb U.S.-backed rebels in Syria.
All right, so take that, what Jordan just said, add to it this, that there was a video, and in that video was a flash. And that became a really big point for a lot of people. And Logan, from a technical media end, that flash, you said it before, tell people what it means, what has it done, and then we're going to play this ridiculous statement from Admiral Kirby.
That's right. I mean, if you just watch an edit, you'll see it a thousand times. It's a white flash edit. It's just a white transition in and out, you know, and it's just used to show passing of time. And everyone knows that. It's not anything hidden.
But it's an intentional thing you go in and do.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It can't just happen.
Well, Admiral Kirby says it can.
All right.
But you're saying a white flash is an edit point that doesn't just happen.
Yeah, you do that in the software or something like that. It couldn't have been done any other way. I mean, I guess I could say that there was a glitch in the footage. They'd edit out a portion of the footage.
No, that's what they're saying.
But that would be the only way. But no, the actual transition, there's no 0% chance.
0% chance. Here's Admiral Kirby when he's asked about it.
We also cannot rule out the possibility that there was some technical problem, and then to make it known that a cut had been made, a white flash was inserted.
But there were no technical problems on the other videos that still exist.
Right, but they don't.
If that were the case, don't you think someone would come and admit that rather than nobody of the 30 witnesses you interview can actually remember what happened? It seems like such a ridiculous explanation. It shocks me that you're actually providing it here. But okay.
Is that a question, or you just want to berate me?
Well, no, John. I just think it's really strange that you're saying that. I think someone would remember if it were a technical glitch. And how could you say there was a technical glitch? There's a possibility of that when there's no other evidence of those glitches on the other videos that exist.
I'm saying I can't rule it out, Justin. There's also no evidence that anybody did this with a deliberate intent to conceal. We just don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, so that there's not a technical glitch. Why it's missing, this is key, folks, is because the time frame upon which the actual negotiations were engaged in is omitted because it didn't fit the government's narrative.
Yeah, so we didn't. None of us found out exactly how long this would take, when it would be implemented,
right?
What Iran, how long term this would be, and it would go specifically to the Iranian nuclear program, which this deal okays. This deal says, Iran, you can continue with your nuclear programs. And by the way, in 10 years, if you comply with this and it's not legally binding,
Right.
You can then increase your nuclear program to one that would create weapons.
Yeah, that which ends up being part of the deal. Now, Sothan, here's the question in Washington, because this Iran thing's a big deal for us, because I need to announce, as people know, we're in federal court against the State Department on this whole shenanigans, and we're going to get to the bottom of this. And we've asked for the names of any State Department officials involved in the discussions of the deleted videos. We want to know to contain any discussion or mention of why that video was deleted, and they're going to say they don't know. We're going to get them under oath in federal court. It's a lot different when you're doing an internal investigation versus a federal court overseeing this. But what's kind of the reaction on this in Washington? Because this is a really serious misleading of the American people, and Hillary Clinton has signed on to this deal.
Yeah, that's right. And I think we've got some sound on that, too. You'll probably play it a minute here. But yesterday, Admiral Kirby then said that they now can conclude that it was deliberately edited. But, Jay, conveniently, they still don't know who or why. But to answer your question about what the concern is here in Washington, Jordan talked about the fact that we were negotiating with Ahmadinejad. That's the first part of the equation. But the other part of the equation is, when was the negotiating happening? Because remember, the original lie from the State Department that was given by Victoria Nuland, that happened, Jay, the same week that Secretary Clinton handed off the reins to Secretary Kerry.
Right.
So here's the bottom line. Both Secretary Clinton and Secretary Kerry were read into those negotiations with Ahmadinejad. There is now no doubt about that.
No doubt.
But she is running for president of the United States. She doesn't want to have to answer that question.
And she needs to. I'm going to just play the first part of the bite here. This is, again, Admiral Kirby saying they're confident the video briefing was deliberately edited.
We are confident the video of that press briefing was deliberately edited.
And then the next day he goes on to say, well, maybe not deliberately edited, because we can't find anybody saying it was deliberate, except for the deliberate is it was edited. And this is nonsense, folks. That's why we're in federal court, to get an answer. We're not going to get an answer out of the FBI. We're going to get an answer in federal court. That's what we do. We're in federal court right now on that matter. All right, let's go ahead and go to the phones, Logan.
All right, let's go to Ann in Pasadena, California. You're on the air.
Ann, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hey.
I'm just calling in regard to the $400 million
yes.
that's now being called ransom.
Yeah.
And the people that are called hostages, these are human beings with lives and feelings
right.
and families. Wouldn't you want your family member to be released?
Let me say this, Ann. Number one, we represented one of those hostages. You understand that, right?
Yeah, I'm listening.
Okay, so, no, do you understand? We represented Saeed Abedini, one of the hostages
yes,
in the Iran deal.
I've heard his name many times
okay.
and prayed for him.
Well, thank you. So here's the problem with the deal. They should have been released in the beginning. That's what we said, number one. Number two, there's a presidential directive that says we don't pay ransoms. Number three, we now have more Americans taken because we gave them $400 million. Number four, we had all the leverage we needed to get those hostages out because we didn't have to lift the sanctions on Iran. It was crippling sanctions. Their economy was folding, and the hostages should have been released before we sat down. But if you make this a policy, Ann, and this is the thing I've got to stress here, you end up with more Americans being held hostages, which is exactly and precisely what has happened here. Exactly what has happened here, unfortunately. So we need to be praying now for those families that are being held hostage. And let me say this. Those that are arguing it was Iran's money anyways, let me make that point again. If we had not money from the Nazis, would we have said, well, if we had money from the Germans, but now the Nazis were in power, would we give them the money back, even though it was the previous administration? No, of course not. Same applies here. We're here for 30 more minutes. Don't forget our matching challenge campaign at ACLJ.org. Logan's going to let you know how you can stay engaged for the next half hour.
That's right. You can join us right now on ACLJ.org. You can also check us out on Facebook and Periscope, where you can watch it live, talk to us during the breaks, and get your comments in on the air. If this is all you can do today and you want to catch the rest of the show later, you can get it archived over on ACLJ.org. The JSecure Live podcast available on iTunes, as well as on the ACLJ app on Apple devices and Roku.
It's the most lawless administration in history. The American Center for Law and Justice is holding the corrupt, lawless Obama administration accountable, and you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255, or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
board out of the Trump campaign as chairman. Not shocking. And part of that's because of the situation with his problems out of the Ukraine. And I think also a reset for the Trump campaign pretty clearly here. We've been talking about the situation with Iran and this money and the State Department and their nonsense on not only editing the videos, but the $400 million, which they now announce and acknowledge, in fact, Jordan, was, I mean, they don't want to call it a ransom. What are they calling it? Leverage? It's a ransom.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was totally admitted now by the State Department after saying it was coincidence, after saying absolutely not, it's not ransom. That was their line of talk. Remember, this is not new information these people have received, by the way. Yep. They just realized the press, the media wasn't going to relent on this one. Yep. And so they ultimately, to get this story closed, had to tell the truth, which we all figured out. But we needed to hear it from them because it kind of puts an end to it. We now know that this money was specifically used to guarantee the release of the four Americans held hostage by Iran for throughout these negotiations and before these negotiations. I mean, you know, in Saeed's case, over 2 years. In Amir Hekmati's case, over 3 years. In Jason Rezaian's case, about a year, but before the negotiations began. So you're talking about a situation where we now know the U.S. government was willing to pay $400 million and use that as leverage to ensure, tells you a lot about who we're dealing with, Iran, to ensure that the Americans they agreed to release would actually be released. That should tell you about who this country is, and specifically, you know, when we talk about these countries, they oppress their own people. So it's not all of the people, but it's the leadership, the radical leadership. And we now are learning from this edited video that we were negotiating with the most radical leadership Iran's had in the last couple decades through Ahmadinejad.
All right. Do we have time for a call?
By the way, he's making a comeback.
He is.
He's trying to make a political comeback in Iran.
Yeah.
So, get the $1.7 billion, get the sanctions lifted, and let's go back to our radical guy.
Yeah, all right, we'll keep an eye on that one.
Let's go to Lori, who's calling you to Washington State.
Hi, Lori.
Hi, Jay. I have a question. I've actually, as I've been listening to this, it's more of a comment also. I have been a federal worker, and also my husband was a retiree from the U.S. Navy, and also my son. So
wow. Thanks.
We all had to take oaths of office.
Right.
Every one of us. And I know that the president did, and I know that Hillary Clinton did as a senator, and when she was sworn in as a Secretary of State. Why is no one looking at the fact that they are not living up to these oaths? And why can't we, the people, do something about that?
Well, we can't initiate, you know, there's not going to be impeachment of the president. An oath of office violation is not when you have a policy you disagree with. Now, some of these other things, and so if the Supreme Court rules against the president, that's not grounds for impeachment that he got it wrong. But look, the frustration I understand. What we're doing now is we have a government accountability project. Let's talk about that for a moment, then, because there is a frustration level out here that's pretty high, that we are on top of these situations and will continue to stay on top of these situations as they continue to develop.
Yeah, well, the truth is you don't need a background check to run for president of the United States. I don't think Hillary Clinton would qualify for a security clearance to get a job on Capitol Hill, but she can run for president of the United States. But, Jay, honestly, what we can do now is get information. So we're doing it on all of these fronts. We want to know the when. We want to know the why. We want to know the who. And I just actually had a meeting with this office upstairs before I came down. We are getting initial responses to these FOIA requests, and here's no surprise here. They are continuing to try to stonewall. We are going to get that information absolutely as fast as we can, and really for one reason, so the American people can have it, and they can make up their own minds about what happened in each of these situations.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to take more of your calls when we come back. I think Fan hit it exactly correct. So if you want to talk to us, 1-800-684-3110. Let me say this. We are about $100,000 off on our matching challenge campaign. That's just to equal last year, about $200,000 off from where we need to be for the month. We really need your help on this. ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate, we're getting a matching gift for. That's ACLJ.org. Get your comments to continue coming in through Facebook and Periscope. We're talking about Russia and Iran when we come back from the break. Got a lot of talk about there, too. We keep trying to get to it. It's just hard. There's so much other news. But we're going to get to that right when we come back from the break. And Logan will let you know how you can get us some comments.
That's right. Get your comments in right now. Facebook and Periscope. You know what to do. Just search for Jay Sekulow. And if you're watching right now on Facebook and Periscope, just comment in right there. The comments go straight to our team. So we'll get to meet him on the air in the next segment.
It's the most lawless administration in history. Courts call President Obama's Justice Department, quote, unethical. The State Department lied about the disastrous Iran nuclear deal. The Department of Homeland Security scrubs Islam and jihad from its files. The administration covered up its Benghazi failures. The FBI rewrote the law while conducting a faux investigation of the State Department email scandal. And the list goes on. The American Center for Law and Justice is holding the corrupt, lawless Obama administration accountable. And you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
All right, we're going to go right to the phones because a lot of you have been waiting, and we're going to take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We're also going to take comments from Facebook and Periscope as well. Logan, you want to start with a call or a comment?
All right, let's go ahead. Let's take a call. A lot of people are on the line, and it's full bank right now. Let's go to Rib, Texas.
Hi, Rib, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Jay, I have three quick questions. The first one is, earlier in the program, you mentioned in the intro that there was that paying for prisoners was a violation of some act or law.
It's a violation of Presidential Policy Directive Number 30, PPD 30, and I'm reading from it right now, reaffirms our longstanding commitment to make no concessions to individuals or groups holding U.S. nationals hostage. It continues to be the U.S. policy to deny hostage takers the benefits of ransom, prisoner releases, policy changes, or other acts of concession. Don't forget that we also released a number of Iranian nationals that were held in U.S. jails here, too, in addition to the money. So there you go. So that's number one. Go ahead, Rib, number two.
And is that considered a high crime or misdemeanor?
No, it is not, because it is a policy directive of the administration. Is not actionable in court, Jordan.
I guarantee one of two things happen, if not both. One, there's a policy memo.
Yep.
President Obama submitted a question to his White House legal counsel saying, would this violate this order?
Yep.
Which I could rescind, but I don't necessarily want to, because we don't want to pay ransoms. I don't want to do that. And that does eventually become public record that was rescinded.
Right.
So will this violate? And they come back. They're his lawyers. So they're going to interpret it the way, as best they can, that he wants, and say, well, it's really exactly what they're saying. It's more of a contingency move. You're not saying, you know, we're paying a ransom. You were already going to give this money back. You were just making sure you were utilizing that to your best abilities, so you're not in violation. That's one. Number two, Than brought up, we should check the Federal Register around this time to make sure there wasn't some kind of slight amendment made to this directive, not repealing it, which would have made news, but just a slight amendment saying, you know, if you're already sending money and they haven't done something they say they're going to do, you can utilize it that way. So it's one of two things.
Is that issue of them maybe a sleight of hand, a little modification to the Federal Register, is something people have brought up in D.C.?
Well, we have. We're looking at it as we speak. Now, listen, you're talking volumes and volumes, so it's going to take some time to know that answer. But listen, Jordan's exactly right. I do think he probably has a memo from the White House counsel on this. But remember, the White House, Jay, does not claim that paying a ransom is legal. They admit that it's illegal. They just continue to say that this wasn't a ransom, even in the face of all this evidence. Listen, it can be both. It can be an arms deal repayment and ransom, and it was.
Yeah. I'll tell you something. The seriousness of this, folks, is what's leading us in this whole Iran deal into federal court. And the longer it gets and the more information we get, the more difficult it is for the administration. But let me say this. Your support of Saeed Abedin and your prayers are the only reason he's out. God was gracious in that regard. I do not like, nor does Saeed Abedin like, I will say that as someone that has been his lawyer, did not like the way in which this went down. So the first thing he told me was, why in the world did it happen this way? So, you know, they knew they were being held, by the way, on the tarmac for the airplane to come in with the money to be released. And they knew it. I mean, there was no question in their mind. All right, let's go ahead and take another call or comment.
All right, let's go ahead. Let's go to Ben in Washington.
Hey, Ben.
Line one.
Hey, Jay, listen, yep. I am just so tired of all the hiding and everything that's happened with the AG, I have deep respect for all of my leaders, but I have to tell you, I am so frustrated about the lying and the deception. Yep. As a voter, I've had it.
Yep.
I've had it. It's gone beyond the pale now. And it's what's happening, Jay, to me, it's like whack-a-mole. Every time they cover something up, it comes out someplace else.
So I want, Ben, I feel your pain, but can you imagine what it's like for us at the ACLJ when we notify our DC office, file this particular Freedom of Information Act request? The moment we file it, guess what happens? Another one comes up. And right now we've set up an entire government accountability project inside the ACLJ because, unfortunately, between now and the end of the president's term, I think there's going to be more of this. And we may be looking at an administration that's not particularly helpful on a lot of issues. Who knows? Whoever the president is, we got to stay on these issues, folks. The American people have to take the government back here. That's part of what the problem is. And this is, in my view, the significance. I want to play the Obama flashback, President Obama flashback, because let's set this up, Jordan. There was this the pressure on the administration was very intense to have this denied, this pay-to-play, situation, the payment. And then what happened was, and I think this is important, the administration started feeling pressure. I'll play that in a moment. But we had to stay on them to even get attention to the hostages.
Yeah, that's right. I
don't want to take
convinced.
Away from the fact that our folks did a huge job here. I'm talking about our listeners.
I'm convinced because of how involved we were in this process, dealing with this State Department, dealing with the Obama administration.
That was not a pleasant
experience. This was a burden. It was a thorn in their side.
Yeah.
It was not a pleasant experience. And now we know that they were negotiating well before we knew. I mean, that's what was missing in this video, is they were actually negotiating with the radicals like Ahmed and Najad over the transfer of money and ultimately the removal of sanctions. So we know now even more information. But I will tell you that if it wasn't for the grassroots work, these Americans would still be there.
Right.
Maybe not alive, some of them. I mean, I can't say definitively about that, but they certainly wouldn't have been released because the administration was forced into making sure that before any of this deal, anything started moving with this deal. Remember, it got finalized. Right. They weren't back yet.
Yep.
But before Iran got anything of substance, before the actual sanctions were removed, before the actual money that was frozen by the United States was sent back, that these Americans got home. They had to do that because of all of you. So you don't need to feel responsible for this ransom and this horrible precedent sets. Honestly, we should take some, I think, just
solace.
Yeah, solace in the fact that the Americans would still be there and they'd still have this horrendous policy. By the way, we'd still have given Iran back $1.7 billion.
And we would have had the
money.
Americans out.
They would have still been on a nuclear program, and Saeed Abedin and Mir Hekmati and Jason Rezaian would still be in prison.
All right, let's go ahead and take some comments and calls.
All right, let's go to Jim in Orlando, Florida. You're on the air.
Logan didn't want to take a lot of comments today.
Yeah, so many calls. I feel bad. They're waiting on hold. Facebook people, they're on their phone.
All right, Jim, go ahead.
They're talking amongst themselves.
All right, go ahead, Jim. You're on.
Good afternoon, Jay. How are you?
Good.
This morning, about 9:30, I think Admiral Kirby was on the Fox CNN, and he stated that, quote, the leverage was used and they were not allowed to leave because they didn't trust Iran.
Right.
And nobody asked a follow-up question. Well, if you don't trust Iran, why are you in a treaty with them?
Yeah, or it's not a treaty. Why are you in this agreement that's not even a signed agreement? And they also acknowledge that they not only don't trust Iran, but that Iran will still be sponsoring terror, and they are the largest state sponsor of terror. Let me play that leverage line. Do we have just that leverage line isolated? Let's get that line isolated so we don't have to play the 30-second bite. I'm going to get it leveraged because I'll use it in the next segment as an example of why this makes absolutely no sense. That was it's a very good call, Jim. You're right. This is a serious problem, and I think we got to realize this.
Yeah, I mean, it's bite four. John Kirby, back and forth in discussion with Joe Scarborough, take a listen.
No, I don't want to play the whole. It's 30 seconds. We're going to get a 25-second. Let's get a 25-second edited down. But, yeah. Go ahead and play it.
there isn't a lot of trust with Iran. So it would have been foolish and imprudent, in our view, to go ahead and settle the cash payment of the principal when we didn't have our Americans. They were playing games with us. They were playing games on whether or not they had Jason Rezaian's wife and whether she was going to be able to get on that plane or not. And so we were very worried that in the final hours here, they were going to somehow pull a fast one. And so I think, you know, we did use it as leverage, and we make no apologies about that because now we got our American citizens back safely.
Yeah. They were going to pull a fast one. They're always pulling a fast one. I mean, Than, this idea that they're going to pull a fast one. They're not going to release the prisoners, which the president said, by the way, that would be ridiculous to think we were doing this.
Well, and look a layer deeper. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the newest ally of the United States, Iran, who we don't trust and who we are now paying ransoms to get hostages back, and who, by the way, are partnering with Russia so that Russia can fly into Syria and kill rebels that we back. That is our newest ally in Iran. So this was so problematic before we ever got to the stage of hostages. The mistake was sitting down with a regime that hates us, that wants to kill us, and is the largest state sponsor of terrorism in the world. That's the biggest problem here.
Well, you know, the fact is this, I mean, and this is the truth. Kirby says there isn't a lot of trust with Iran. That's kind of an understatement.
Yeah. And the concern is that, of course, we're in a nuclear deal with them. I mean, it's...
And the Russians are now
involved.
There's
a lot of countries I wouldn't want to be in a nuclear deal with. Iran would be at the top of the list because...
Would Russia be second?
I wouldn't get into a deal. I mean, I think at the end of the Cold War, you know, you had to come up with some kind of deal, and nuclear nonproliferations worked pretty well. So you had to figure that out.
How do you like Russia and Iran?
But these days, no. Would you get into a new deal with China on this, or would you get into a new deal with India or Pakistan? No. I mean, you have to deal with reality. These countries created on their own.
Yep.
Iran hasn't been able to do that.
Yeah.
Iran has some resources, but remember, we had them where they were crumbling, begging. They were basically beggars.
Right.
And we've now propped them back up as billionaires.
All right, so here's what it really means at the end of the day here, and this is what I think we have to realize. We did this deal with Iran. We were sold a bill of goods. We're in federal court and fighting this out right now. And the reality is this leverage for prisoners, which I'm watching all the news out, everybody's talking about this, and that we don't trust Iran? Well, let me tell you what we're going to talk about in the next segment. We'll take your calls on this. How about Russia and Iran, which we still haven't been able to get to, and I'm getting to it the next segment. Russia launching planes into Syria out of Iran. All right, Logan, we'll take some calls.
We cleared through a bunch of calls, so we have a couple lines open right now. Four lines right now as we speak. I'm sure they'll go quick. 1-800-684-3110. This is the time to get your voice on the air, because that's what we do in this next segment. We take phone calls. We get also comments from Facebook. This just came in from Dixie, who said, thank you again, Jay, for being top of the situation, being on top of this situation, this ransom situation. A lot of great comments coming in. We don't trust Iran, but here's 400 million. They came from Lila. So all these comments coming out on Facebook and Periscope, but phone lines are open. 1-800-684-3110. Call right now.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. It's the most lawless administration in history. Courts call President Obama's Justice Department, quote, unethical. The State Department lied about the disastrous Iran nuclear deal. The Department of Homeland Security scrubs Islam and jihad from its files. The administration covered up its Benghazi failures. The FBI rewrote the law while conducting a faux investigation of the State Department email scandal. And the list goes on. The American Center for Law and Justice is holding the corrupt, lawless Obama administration accountable. And you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-877-877. 989-2255, or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. This is the segment you get to ask anything. Russia and Iran. Russia is launching aircraft out of Iran into Syria. That's not a good thing because the Russians have reengaged. This is a bad thing. And I will tell you this, interesting conversation with the State Department yesterday on this. AP reporter asked the question to Mark Toner. Let's take a look.
Yesterday, you guys were a bit befuddled. Confused by the Russian decision to start undertaking missions from Iran.
We're looking at it. We're trying to get a better assessment of what's going on. But I stand by what I said yesterday, which is that fundamentally, this isn't helpful. And it's not helpful because, you know, it continues to complicate what is already a very dangerous situation in and around Aleppo when you have Russia using Iranian air bases as a way to carry out more intensive bombing runs that are hitting, continue to hit, civilian populations.
The Russians are in Iran defending Assad, and the State Department's tone is, this isn't helpful.
I mean, it's shocking.
Right.
But this is the same State Department who told us this wasn't a ransom. It's the same State Department that said the video was a technical glitch, and then it was intentional, and now it's back to being a potentially a glitch because after a review, we couldn't figure out who in our department, a video department, would have cut this so perfectly out. I mean, so this is you have to understand who it's coming from always, and now they're saying it's not helpful to have Russia launching airstrikes from Iran, which by the way would have never happened without the nuclear deal. And now, even with Iran, Russia being part of the Security Council, they could not have gone into Iran, used their airspace, used their military bases, even being a UN permanent member of the Security Council. Now, even if they are in violation, we already had a discussion at ACLJ, they can veto. They have that permanent veto, and they're not, you know, it's arguable whether they are. So they're using all of the gray areas now to just kind of show the world what you've done through this nuclear deal. Thank you, President Obama, once again for making
worked
the Middle East
well.
Much more unstable. I'd say it's
Russia and Iran.
Similar to how badly the British handled the Middle East, I think the U.S. is doing the same thing right now. We were kind of in control. I mean, it's not perfect, but we were in control. And now we're giving up this control, and we're trying to draw these lines and these new boundaries and borders and who's good and who's bad, and it's falling apart. The Middle East has done this time and time again.
We're going to get into this next week on the broadcast, but let me tell you something interesting here. Do you know there's an Iranian, not that I believe the Iranian constitution, this is the Islamic Republic of Iran's constitution, forbidding the kind of partnership that Russia's now engaging in with them, having foreign troops on Russian soil. All right, let's go right to the phones and get these
calls.
All
right, we do have a couple lines open. If you want to quickly jump on, 1-800-684-3110, we have time to get to you. Let's go to John in Washington.
Hey, John. Here.
Hello, thanks John. For taking my call.
Sure.
What a disaster this foreign policy is that the Obama administration is undertaking. There's a guy over there, American, that's been held for some time. The family wants to know, we paid the ransom,
Robert Levinson.
Is our father and husband? I'd like to know that, too.
Yeah, Robert Levinson, still unaccounted for, and another American is now being held hostage, too, charged with national security violations. So exactly what happens when you give a ransom is exactly what happens. They take more Americans. We're easy prey.
Yeah, it's why we have a policy against this. It's why there's a presidential directive that says, even when you're present and you're getting pulled at your heartstrings and you got this money available, we're a very wealthy country, that you don't do this because you're going to be putting more lives at risk. So you have to, you know, not just feel the tugs at your heart on an individual, but look at the big picture. You're the president for over 300 million Americans, many of which travel and live around the world. And so you do this, and it just sends a signal, which is what happens here, to bad regimes that you can't trust, like we said, that you take an American and you may get millions now.
Right, billions.
All right, we have a caller coming in from Periscope, also from North Carolina. So, Jackie from North Carolina, you are on the air.
Hi, Jackie. Thanks for watching on Periscope.
Hey, Jay. How are you?
Hey, great.
Okay, you've already answered my question. I wanted to know how many more hostages have been over there since they paid the ransom. But I guess my next question is, what can I do to educate myself? Because I don't hear about this other than your show.
Well, let me encourage you. First of all, thanks for listening to the show. I don't know if we have an exact count of the number of hostages. that are Americans that are being held. I know there's French being held, Americans being held. I mean, this has been an ongoing problem. But Jackie, let me encourage you to engage in all of our multimedia, including our social media. Facebook and Periscope is a great way to keep up to date. And also follow me and Jordan on Twitter, because we, and Jordan especially, sends out a lot of information all the time on what's happening. So multiple ways to do that. The website, of course, has got information. We're posting articles every day.
Well, yeah, we know there's at least two. There's Robert Levinson, who was mentioned, and then the latest, Nasrallah Khosravi, who was pretty much unknown, dual citizen, just got recently charged. And that person was intentionally left out by Iran of coming home with the other four Americans. So we at least know those two. A lot of these are dual citizens, so it's up to kind of, at their point, their families notifying or what strategy they choose to see to their release. And people who travel there frequently. Most Americans, like all of us, we're not making frequent trips to Iran. But if you are an Iranian-American, and there are a lot of good Iranian-Americans in our country, you may have family there. Things have kind of normalized between the two countries, so you think this is a good time to go. And that's who they're snatching.
Okay, we do have a comment. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go, please.
This comes from Rhonda. She said, so then are Russia and Iran teaming up? Isn't that bad for the U.S.?
It is. And it is also the title of our new book, Unholy Alliance. Russia, Iran, and Radical Islam's Agenda for World Domination. Folks, this is I think it's the most significant book we've written. It is on exactly what is in the news right now, Russia, Iran, and Syria. Again, we were ahead of the curve here. We want to get this on the New York Times bestsellers list. You can pre-order this now. It's a hard copy at Amazon or Barnes & Noble, wherever you get your books, and that will help us get that on one of those New York Times lists. Let's grab another call here, Logan.
Let's go to David in Tennessee.
Hey, David.
You're on the air.
Hey, Jay, you and Jordan, I thank you guys for what you do.
Thanks.
But my concern is we're fighting the front of our own government on every front.
Yep.
You're very busy.
Yes, sir.
What are they not doing? What are they telling us, not telling us now? Where's the next battle that we have to fight?
It's the whack-a-mole theory, David. I mean, this is why we've got an active government affairs office. And, Than, let folks know quickly here that what you're doing in Washington, we stay above these. Try to stay in front of them.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, one of the things that we've uncovered along with many others, Jay, is that right now, I mean, this moment, the United States and Russia are this close to another intel information sharing program inside of Syria. So what is the strategy in Syria going to be? Now, apparently, we're going to partner with Russia in that strategy, even though they're targeting our rebels right now. So listen, whack-a-mole, I actually think it's a fair description. You do have to try to stay one step ahead of us, and we need our listeners to stay engaged so that they can get the information that we're working so hard to bring to the surface.
All right, and we're going to continue to do that. So the idea is we got to stay ahead of the curve. That's why we fight at the ACLJ. Folks, we are out of time for this for today. I want Logan to let you know all the ways you can engage with the ACLJ. Before he does that, let me also remind you we're about $100,000 off from where we need to be for our matching challenge campaign, about $1,700 donors short. So ACLJ.org, any amount you donate, we're getting a matching gift for. But I want you to know also that, because the last caller said this, there's a lot of ways to get information about what we're doing. We post a lot of information online. We've actually beefed up our online presence, our ACLJ.org presence, so there's a lot more there.
All right, you can join us right now, ACLJ.org. If you want any information, it's a great way to do it. Also, Facebook and Periscope. Obviously, every day we're broadcasting live right there. And you can be support. You can like all those pages. You can also get the Jay Sekulow Live podcast on iTunes or however you get your podcast. Great way to engage with the show each and every day. It goes directly to your device as soon as the show is archived. It's a really great way to be a part of the broadcast.
Yeah, and I'll tell you something else, folks. Again, I want to encourage you. We've got Unholy Alliance coming out. You can pre-order that wherever books are sold. Again, this is another way to be educated on these critical issues involving Russia, Iran, and Syria. And, of course, don't forget our matching challenge campaign at ACLJ.org. Facebook and Periscope, stay with us for a moment. I want to talk to you. So hang in there. Talk to you next week.
It's the most lawless administration in history. The American Center for Law and Justice is holding the corrupt, lawless Obama administration accountable, and you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255, or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you.